Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This weekend marked the 141st anniversary of the Battle of Greasy Grass, also known as the Battle of the Little Bighorn. We begin hour two of In the Moment by putting the battle into context. First, author and Black Hills State University instructor Donovan Sprague sat down with us last year at this time. He's a family descendant of both Crazy Horse and Chief Hump. He's working on a book about the two men. Donovan Sprague is also an archivist with the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. Here's our conversation.
Since day one, I always knew about the battle, and when I was a kid, and then you go and visit there, and my family's pictures are in the museum itself, so I'm very proud of that. There are kind of a select number of pictures actually in their museum, which on the representing the side of the soldiers, there's probably about 10 photos in the main museum, and then on the other side is the Lakota, Cheyenne, and Arapaho photos, which of there are about 10 there. And so inclusive of that is Hump in there, and there's no proven photograph of Crazy Horse, so they correctly have like a drawing to represent him. So I'm always very proud to go to the museum and see all the crowds of people that are gathered around those photos and learning about that and seeing who these people actually were.
Tell me about your family's participation on that day. What do you know of it these many years later?
In the unreleased book, I have of 36 chapters, I have a big chapter in there on this event. And so the title of the chapter title is called The Music of the Bugles. And at that time, some of the women from our family were over on the east side of the river there, and they were picking Teamsula turnips, and they heard the sound, which the battle was fully, going. They were making the attack, and here they heard these bugles and ran, in fright from the field where they were digging. And there were lots of kids in the river itself. It was a very hot day, pretty much like today. And the children were in the swimming, and I really didn't expect this attack, but then our family, including there were many others, but Hump and Crazy Horse, two of the most famous, Hump being my great-great-grandfather, went down and met the initial attack actually of Reno on the south end. And they got there as that was kind of getting over, because it didn't last but about just a few minutes, and Reno was overwhelmed, and he had to climb back up on the hill and take cover. And then Custer,
this is Major Marcus Reno, Major Marcus Reno. So this is 7th Cavalry, right? Have I got my history right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. So Reno retreats.
As Custer had approached there, he sent Major Marcus Reno in to attack the south end, which was the camp of the Hunkpapa from Standing Rock, and he sent Captain Benteen far to the south, who didn't find any Lakota or Cheyenne, and he himself then would continue on to the north. Mm-hmm. And so our family got in on the very end of the Reno fight, and they heard of these and also observed the larger contingent of soldiers were moving to the north, and they said, it looks like there's going to be a bigger battle to the north here. And so they started following that up. And so they were involved in the main fighting along the way, including some of the major fighting took place, like at Calhoun Hill, mm-hmm. it's called, named after James Calhoun, from the 7th Cavalry. And some of the fiercest fighting, took place there, which is proved with archaeological evidence of shell casings and all of that. And then from there, it's just a short ways to what is known as the Last Stand Hill, where Custer, you know, made his stand, and the soldiers were all killed there. But then, you know, there's a lot of stories and connections that are documented through, like, winter counts, keeping track of the history, and then oral history, where I can actually piece together some events in chronological order, which have not been known, you know, in history to this day. So with my book, I look forward to being able to contribute to a big piece of the history that's not told about.
Donovan, I'm wondering, the attack was a complete surprise to the people in the camp, is that correct?
Well, they knew there were soldiers in the area, but it was such a large camp that they didn't fear for any their safety. And so they didn't know that there were soldiers in the area. And just, I was up there last Friday, which was June 17th, and that happened to be the anniversary of the Battle of the Rosebud, which mm-hmm. took place just days before. And so they were the soldiers were pursuing Lakota and Cheyenne, and then found them just, you know, like on the 25th, days later, at the Battle of Little Bighorn. And they had actually, on the way over, some of the soldiers had lost some of the hardtack, you know, some food. Mm-hmm. And they told their officer that, and he said, well, you need to go back, you know, and get that, or we're going to be discovered, you know, we can't have that. And when they went back to pick it up, the Lakota or Cheyenne, they were taking that from a distance. They seen them eating, and the way they went. So that's one factor that they say that maybe sped up all the operations, that then when they reported that back, that the Lakota and Cheyenne had taken the food, then they said, well, we need to press on because they're going to be going back to camp and, you know, relaying this information.
And this moves the battle up at least a day, right?
Yeah, it did, because Custer was not really, he wasn't going to attack right away, but he thought they were, you know, going to get away. He seen some of the travois were packed up and loaded. And that's another thing, too, that I can shed some light on. No author that I ever have known of, or I've never heard this before, but I present this in my book as when the soldiers came in, they came in on the largest religious gathering of the year, and it was the Sundance. And it happens during the solstice, see, on June 21st, and then you've got 4 days of that, strong 4 days of ceremony, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and then the camp was in leisure. A lot of people were breaking up and moving away from the travois, and that's what Custer observed, was some of the camp moving and breaking up, because our people never came together in large numbers like that, except for a special event like that. So, you know, you don't have to look at it as a battle that two people vied and went face-to-face in war. You know, it's more of an intrusion in on a great religious ceremony.
How is it commemorated every year? How is the battle commemorated, do you know?
The battle is commemorated up at the Custer battlefield itself, the Little Bighorn National Monument, with about a week long of activities, and they have two different reenactments, which is not really sponsored by the battlefield, but the Real Bird family, which has some private land on the battlefield. They have a reenactment, a pageant, and a lot of people attend that. And then the nearby city of Hardin also has a reenactment played out. And so those happen preceding, you know, I mean, throughout the week you can do that. And then there's always special tours going on and speakers, a lot of events that coincide with the anniversary.
What does it mean? What did it mean to you as a young man growing up and having this be part of your heritage, this particular story and your ancestors' participation in it? What did it mean to you growing up?
Oh, well, that and then knowing your own, you know, just your history and where your people were at and other battles as well, because the family participated in also the Fetterman fight, which happened 10 years before. And up until the Little Bighorn, the Fetterman fight was the biggest battle, like in the West, and it was overshadowed then with the Little Bighorn. So my family was also there. They were at the Wagon Box fight, which happened just down the road from Fort Phil Kearny, near the Fetterman fight. But the way you feel is that you feel good inside, and I instill that even with my students, you know, that you need to know where you come from and your histories and all of this, because it gives you, you know, not only pride, but a great feeling inside that's hard to describe. You just feel good. It's kind of like people that research their roots and genealogy and things like that, and when they find those connections in that, you know, it's just something that nobody can take away from you. And it even helps, and I think, in dealing with, you know, today there's a lot of study about historic trauma and things like that that happen, such as like Wounded Knee. But these things give a lot of pride. There was a lot of, it was a time of celebration. It was a time of victory and great participation of the people, showing the strength of the Lakota and Cheyenne Nation.
When does the book come out?
The book was a, it takes about a year if it's a university press, and I had submitted it actually about 2 years ago, and it was too big. It's a huge book. And so it was over 900 pages, and so they asked me to cut it down a little bit. And so that was a big job, rearranging the footnote numbers and all that. I felt like an accountant, you know, trying to keep these numbers and the footnotes in the front and the back. So
are you going to keep all that
hold up?
Are you going to keep all that scholarship that's being edited out and use it somewhere else? Because it seems like, well, a lot will be left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I keep my original manuscript. You know, and some people said, well, it could have been two books. You could have done one and two, but I'm going to resubmit it like any day. I've had some contact with them and want to send it back, and then it'll be 1 year from then. But if there's more editing asked for, then I may go with another publisher.
We will. We'll be waiting for that. This is Donovan.
Oh, well, it's a 20-year project. So many people helped with it, great scholars and elders and many who have passed on, but they're all acknowledged in the book and their stories, and it's a great Lakota and Cheyenne. All of our women men of our family all married Cheyenne women, so we're really part Cheyenne.
You've been listening to Donovan Sprague, a family descendant of both Crazy Horse and Chief Hump, talking about the Battle of Greasy Grass. We talked to Donovan last year at the 140th anniversary of the battle.